Okay, so on Tuesday, we spoke about what happiness is, what simple is. We tried to avoid the word happy because it makes it sound very frivolous and light. We used the word content, aligned, at peace. And we broke it down into two different factors. Number one, you have a sense of purpose. You live in this world for a purpose, for a reason. Number two, all the deterrents that normally cause us not to feel content, that start to stress us and weigh upon our emotions, those deterrents don't exist. Anger, jealousy, greed, ambition, entitlement. So all those deterrents to anger that make us tense and non-content, that those have been smoothed out and those don't press on us. So now the question is, how do you achieve that? How do you become a person of simcha? How do you become someone who has more simcha in their life? What are the practical steps to take? So you have to first divide it into two different approaches. One is attitude adjustment, which is, of course, always the key. You don't want to only work on externals. You want to work on internally, how you think about life, how you view life, how you process and respond to life. And the second part, always, as we said last time, with humility, with anger, externals can also be a big change. So even if you're not perfectly in a state of simcha, if you follow these two or three external guidelines, you probably have more simcha in your life, more contentment, more alignment. So what are the ways to adjust your attitude? So I would say there are five different ways to think about so that you can avoid. Obviously, have a sense of purpose. You have to find purpose in life and find meaning and live for something. That's no chedashir. And that meaning should be being over Hashem, to serve Am Yisrael. So finding purpose is the relatively easy part. It's not easy to achieve. It's easy to explain. But I don't have to. It's not rocket science. You find purpose and you live a life of purpose, a life of meaning. So you're living for something. But how do you avoid anger, greed, jealousy, stress? How do you avoid all those that can deter you? Even people that have a life of purpose, if these foreign, frustrating emotions settle in, they'll disrupt the simcha. So I think there are five different ways to try to avoid those deterrents. Number one, don't be a controlling person. When I say don't be a controlling person, a lot of people are controlling of other individuals in their lives and relationships, and everything has to be according to their wishes. But also, not just in interactive world, but also in life. You really can control your life and control your future or control. That's why traffic is so frustrating to people, because it's the optimal or the absolute lack of control. You're just stuck on the highway and you're in the middle of cars and you can't do anything and you've got time. So if you're able to abdicate the sense of control and know that you don't really control much in this life and you just do your best, and some things will work out in your favor, some things will not work out in your favor. So a lot of the times that we're angry and stressed and frustrated is because we feel we want to control things, and the world pretty much lies beyond your control. As you learn when you get older, you more or less realize that. It's hard to you realize that when you're young, because you don't live, let's say, in as many complicated situations. You just live in a straight-line situation. Home, yeshiva, army, you realize it a little bit more, obviously. But in life, you start to realize how little you control, and inversely, you can control your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that's something you can control. So it's not just giving up control, but focusing on what can I control? My values, my identity, my relationship with Hashem, davening, mitzvot. What can I control? Money, people. I can even control relationships, even with children, with your wife even. So I mean, you try your best. Those you can have more influence than you can on the stock market, but in the end, you can't control much. Your health, obviously, you can't control. So you create this world of, I'm not really trying to control. Whatever hits me, I'll try to deal with. What I can control is who I am, my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my midos, a little bit my family, you know, not to control them, to control the tone of our relationship, and not try to impose yourself too harshly on reality around you, because that leads to a lot of frustration. Number two is, as Chazon says, Zeh Washir Samech B'Chalko. So it doesn't mean that you're rich, you're content with what you have. And we have so much, and most of the time when we're looking over at other people, it causes jealousy, it causes greed, it causes us not to be, like, we can't even appreciate what we've been given because we're always looking at what someone else has. So just be very content with what you've been given in life. And that's true not just in material possessions, how much money you have, how big a house you have, how big a car you have, how nice a car you have. It's also true with your lot in life and your lot specifically with Avodas Hashem. That sometimes people get very frustrated because they want to do more in Avodas Hashem or different in Avodas Hashem. You want to be a big Talmid Chacham, and all of a sudden a relative's in the hospital. You have to spend 3 months in the hospital with them. be very upset. Well, why can't it be learning? Why can't? Because right now, that's your avodas Hashem, is to close the sefer and be in the hospital for 3 months with someone. And that's your chelek. It's not just the chelko in life, what's my chelek, but also at certain stages. Right now, I have to be at a levaya. Right now, and not to be restless and frustrated. Right now, I have to be at a simcha. Right now, I have to, as opposed to constantly have to be learning or have to be, and then being frustrated when life takes you out of that lane or shifts you out of that ability. So, semech b'chelko, number one, is to give up control. Number two is to be satisfied and content. These are not easy, but if you start to map it, you can start to build a personality that has simcha. I would say number three is, don't have expectations in life. Don't feel entitled. It's a little bit related to control, but a little bit different. People feel very entitled, especially people that have a lot. People that come from very wealthy backgrounds or have been given a lot in life. And you think things are coming to you and you expect things. And when they don't come, that makes you frustrated, and that disrupts your contentment, because I deserve. And it speaks back. A lot of these mitos obviously bleed into one another. We've talked about this a lot with humility. The people that are entitled have a hard time feeling humble. And Hakar Satov teaches you not to be entitled, to really be appreciative of people and to be appreciative of what you have in life from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the third aspect is not just to give up control, to be happy with what you have, but not to feel that you deserve anything. To see yourself as someone, anything you receive, it's, oh, Baruch Hashem, look at this. I can't believe you did that for me. It's so kind of you. It's so wonderful that happened. Rather than, you know, after all, I mean, I deserve that, right? I deserve to sit in front of the table. I deserve to sit in front of the plane. Rather than just saying to be makir tov, not to think that you deserve much. Again, a lot of these sound similar, but if you really hone in on them, they really are a little bit different. Number four is self-esteem. To feel, Dylan, number four is the self-esteem. To feel that self-esteem is defined as where you feel good about yourself and you don't need other people gratification. A lot of people today are looking for other people to make them feel good about themselves. And self-esteem means there's an internal sense that I'm important and that I'm a good person and doing good things and I'm working at good things. And if you don't have that self-esteem, it's very, very hard to feel content. And you're looking for it elsewhere. I mean, just to give you an example, oh my goodness, he liked my post. Like, what difference does it make if he liked your post? You should just feel valuable regardless of whether people like your post. A lot of the terrible, terrible, terrible crimes in our world, abuse and physical abuse and verbal abuse and sexual abuse, are very often caused, you'd be surprised, by people with very low self-esteem. So the easiest way to get self-esteem is to draw it violently from someone. I mean, it's not real self-esteem, but attention. Again, I guess attention would be a substitute for self-esteem. So you have really healthy self-esteem. You don't need other people to like you. You're not offensive to other people, but you're not dependent on other people's validation. And people that don't have self-esteem tend to be victims of abuse as well as abusers. That's the irony of it. They're the abusers because they're looking to draw attention from people, and they also are victims because they don't feel good enough about themselves to say, this isn't right. People that are in abusive relationships, abusive situations, say, you know, why are you treating me this way? People don't have the self-esteem, don't have the ability to say, why are you treating me this way? I deserve it. I'm a low person. I'm a bad person anyway. I deserve to have this husband. I deserve to have this wife. I deserve to have this relationship or situation. So it's really important to have self-esteem. A lot of people that seek fame, that seek fortune, that seek people's attention, that seek celebrity, and they'll sacrifice their whole life, and they'll go into place themselves in contorted situations because they need people to pay attention to them, and they mistake that for self-esteem. And attention is not self-esteem. Self-esteem is feeling good about yourself internally. I would say the final part of this attitude adjustment is just to try to look at positive in life, ayin tova, positive in people, positive in yourself, rather than always harping or migrating towards the negative. So if you're looking at positive experiences, traits, activities, generally tend to make us feel better and more content. And it's the negatives that makes us, that rankles us, that upsets us. So it depends on what you look at. The mind, John Milton was an English poet. I've read a lot of his poetry. So one of the famous English poets, in one of his poems he writes, man can make a heaven of hell and a hell of heaven. So you can be in heaven but feel it's hell, and you can be in hell and make it into a heaven. So it's a question of disposition and perspective and how you flavor your experience. People have a lot of money and a lot of wealth, and they live a hellish life. And people that have less and more meager and generally tend to be happier because they're not constantly chasing and looking for more. So these are five different recommendations for how to try to slowly change that attitude. Number one, give up control. Number two, to be content with what your role is in life. Number three is not to feel entitled. Number four is to have self-esteem. And number five is to have an ayin tova, is to find favor and favorable vantage points, not negative vantage points. The second part of being someone of simcha is not necessarily internal attitude adjustments, but it's just externals, and externals can oftentimes affect the internal. So, for example, smiling. It's been medically proven that smiling can make you feel better about yourself physically, or at the very least, it elicits smiles and happiness from other people. So even if smiling doesn't affect you, it certainly creates relationships and interactions that cause a lot more simcha. Not complaining. A lot of people complain when things happen. So when you complain, even just by articulating your sadness, by articulating your stress, it becomes more tangible. You articulate something, it becomes more palpable. It becomes more palpable, it becomes more weighty. So if you don't complain and just keep things to yourself, obviously you want to share if you need help, but some people are chronic complainers. Every time something goes wrong, they share, and they share, and they share, and they complain, and complain. That tends to disrupt your contentment and your alignment. To make other people happy, if you feel that there's someone that's saying that happiness is contagious, if you make that other person feel content, you will pretty much, by osmosis, feel some of that emotion the person's feeling. So these are not internal where you change whom you are. Even if you're not happy, you just try to make someone happy. Even if you're not happy, you can smile. Even if you're not happy, you just don't complain. Then all of a sudden, by taking these external activities, it can reflexively create an inner state of contentment and happiness. So those are the two ways to try to build simcha: the adjusting whom you are and how you think, and then externally, certain actions and decisions you can take. Okay? Shabbat Sameach. Shabbat Shalom.